Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Parker Kern. I'm here with Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. That's good. So good. I think another good day.
Another good day.
And we just do our best.
That's like Paul Harvey used to say, the radio announcer.
Good day.
Good day. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yep.
He was the best.
Yeah, I used to listen to that show when I was little, at my grandparents.
Oh yeah.
It was during lunchtime.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was on, I think, at noon.
It must have been.
Yeah.
He was our constant companion at lunch when I was at my grandparents.
Mm.
So
did they have the big tower radio in the corner?
I don't remember what it was. I think it was little, but obviously it was not like we have today. So it was old.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I actually know where Paul Harvey lived, obviously he passed away, rest in peace, but I know where his house was.
Huh.
I actually, so every, most every, winter, right, over Christmas break or something, my parents and I would often go to Arizona, and usually that was the case. We'd occasionally go spring break as well sometimes, and COVID kind of broke that up and everything. Mm-hmm. We've gone here and there since, but I remember the first time we drove through this place called the Arizona Biltmore Square, and it's a very nice, very high-end real estate, massive houses. And so you're driving through this big boulevard, and it's like something out of a movie set. It's just the houses you can't even believe, right? They're just massive. And there was one in particular that was the largest house of all of them, and it was this huge white house, and it had seemed that there was still construction going on. And so we said, well, that's pretty interesting. And at the time, Shaquille O'Neal was playing for the Phoenix Suns. Mm. So I made the joke it's probably Shaq's house. He's probably just moving in. He just was in, I don't know where he was before, Los Angeles or one of those stops he made. And, he's probably just getting moved in. So, okay. So come back next year. There's still construction going on.
Whoa.
There's still construction. So this goes on for 3 years, and there's always people there. And so we just decided, maybe they're just having a lot of stuff done all the time that just, rehabbing or whatever, constant projects, right?
It's like I-75 in Dayton. It never ends.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad goes on to, the Maricopa County database, which you can find, property owner information, right. And it's Paul Harvey's house.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's this just huge, obscenely huge. So, of course, my dad, a former radio guy, is probably he probably had a studio in there. I'm like, which room, which wing do you think it was in? Like, which floor? There was only four floors.
Hmm.
So it's kind of wild. But yeah, Paul Harvey's house. I don't know who lives there now.
Right.
Maybe
it could be Shaq.
I don't think it. No. Maybe it's not Shaq. I mean, there's probably very few people in the world that could afford the house.
Right.
Probably Shaq's one of them.
Right.
That would be a St. Jude Dream Home kind of deal. That I'd be that one of those. It's gated. I mean, you got a mile of area around. I mean, it's a huge yard. You got a big fence. I mean, everything you'd probably love. Yeah. Bentley's sitting in the driveway. Yeah.
That's too far away though. I was shooting for that one that was literally around the corner from here.
I mean, but it's probably so much land there. You could probably just put an airstrip in the back, and you could just commute on in on Sundays, and fly in and take a four day week and come on back. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a guy can dream, right?
Yeah, so about a 4 day week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, but anyhow, yeah. So that's the odd and weird story of Paul Harvey's house. Yeah. I didn't.
Undergoing some work.
Yeah. And it was the most random person, because we thought it was some person that was still around, or, perhaps an athlete, of course, Shaq, or maybe a singer, right. or I mean, there's only a select group of people that you would probably go, okay, that, that person lives in that house, you know, unless it's some wealthy other person that
did well in the stock market.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like a Buffett or somebody, but even somebody below, Buffett. But yeah, that's who it was. It was Paul Harvey's house. Hmm. It's a beautiful house. Man, yeah. I'd love to have a tour sometime.
Yeah,
I don't
have for the really rest of the stories.
The rest of the story. Yeah, I was like, I wonder if by the time he says the rest of the story in a studio, if it'll carry up to upstairs or whatever wing it was, and the rest of the story. the rest.
That's right. It's echoes.
Just echoes throughout the hallowed halls. So, well, Father, we got a lot going on here at St. John coming up.
I know.
We have a big kickoff here next week.
Yeah, of course, reboot, you know, is Wednesday already, you know. And
crazy.
We've been talking about this for a long time, but Chris is coming. It's going to be great. And looking forward to that. There's probably still a chance to get a ticket and also bring someone with you. You know, that's part of this. Also, you know, maybe there's someone you know that could, just like we all could use a little reboot, but maybe in a particular way, you know, of someone that could really use a reboot in their spiritual life. And this is, you don't have to do any of the work except get them there. You know, Chris is giving the talk. Really looking forward to that, you know, and family faith formation coming up just next week. Excited. You know, when people, you know, ask me, like, what's your favorite part about being a priest? I always say, you know, Sundays, because when you get to see everybody, you know, and there's just, of course, Mass, you know, is that opportunity, although it's hard to see everybody. You know, there's so many people I don't even get a touch point with. But, you know, it's just sort of, for me, just, you know, getting to, you know, be around all the families a little bit extra, you know, is always awesome for me. So I'm looking forward to it in that way. And just, yeah, all the good things that God's going to do this year. And so we're all looking forward to that and grateful for all the folks who help with that. And, you know, last week mentioned the kitchen helpers, but we also have all these great volunteer teachers.
Oh yeah.
You know, too, which is great and grateful for them. Besides our staff, you know, kind of a team effort, you know, to put that on. So, we're excited.
Those are the people that make it, I mean, truly a, you know, an educational experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, then the men's invitational coming up. Perhaps still a spot to get on that.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Maybe by the time you hear this, that it'll all be sold out. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that as well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. A lot of awesome stuff. A lot of awesome stuff.
It's going to be a good month.
I think so.
It'll be a good September.
That's right.
So you don't want to be woken up when September ends.
You want to be all in.
Yeah, you want to
be all in on September.
That's right. We talked about that a little bit last week. I always like to call back just to make sure, you know, let's make sure people are listening.
That's right.
Or just for us to have fun.
To do another Green Day reference.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're on Sunday for Mass. We're back in Mark chapter 7.
23rd Sunday.
I know.
At the 23rd.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. And then last year would have been the 23rd Sunday in 2023.
Oh, wow.
You know?
The trifecta of 23s.
I know. I know. I think it didn't dawn on us, though, until like it was over. We're like, oh.
Yeah.
That would have been like more fun to do something with.
Well, I mean, in our defense, I think we had just started back up. It was like our third or fourth week of podcasting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were just getting the ground rules of, like, you know, everything and getting the lay of the land. And, you know, now we're old seasoned pets.
Oh, and sometimes, you know, on a Sunday, I'm thinking of things like trying to keep a homily in my head, not how many times we've used the number 23 pops up that weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to have priorities, I guess.
You do.
You know, so it's good that we have this podcast to sort of like mark it out now.
Love
so
it.
Happy 23rd.
Happy 23
years.
Folks. Yeah. I mean, this is more of a priestly question for you. Do you take anything from what we say on the podcast and like pop it into your head when you're planning your homilies, or do you have them planned out?
Yeah. Oh no, I don't have them planned out. This early. No. So yeah. You can always be saying a prayer for me that I get it together.
I do.
So I appreciate it. You never know where inspiration is going to strike or come up with something.
I liked the two truths and a lie a couple weeks ago.
Thanks.
That was fun. I knew it was number three.
Yeah.
I knew about the medical school.
Right.
I assumed the cheerleader thing was so obscure.
It must be true.
Then I was like, you know, Father Herb liked the Beatles, but you probably don't like the Beatles because you like all the other, you know, you like 21 Pilots and like Metallica and everything else.
It's just not my jam. And there's other things from that era that I appreciate. I just never. Just
like couldn't. The Monkees or something like that even.
Yeah. It's interesting the number of the diverse type of people that gave me grief about that. I mean, from high school students, college students, on up. Like, so that's part of what made it fun, you know, because the Beatles, one of those, you know, they're kind of
the Beatles,
universally known,
yeah,
you know, and liked by many people.
Yeah,
just not all.
No, I agree. I like a lot of their music, but I wouldn't say I'm like a super fan of them. But I what they did, I think I'm more appreciative for what they did for the music industry than I am for maybe perhaps their actual music.
Yeah, well, and that's what I said. Yeah, I appreciate their place in music history.
Exactly.
I'm just not going to listen to their songs.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're not going to be sailing in the yellow submarine anytime soon.
Right, yeah, or living in it. So, yeah.
Well, let's just hope you don't need any help from your friends.
That's right.
If not, yeah, you're just going to have to yell out, "Hey, Jude."
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. All right. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
Wild.
There's a lot of great stuff going on.
There really is.
In here. One cool thing, of course, he took the guy off kind of away from the crowd. So yeah, he wasn't, you know, like making a big spectacle.
It wasn't a performative deal.
Right. He just wanted to help the guy, you know? And what I love is that, of course, Jesus heals people in a lot of different ways. You know, some from a distance, but like he puts part of himself into where the man needs Jesus to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
So he put his deaf, so he puts his fingers into his ear, you know, and like spitting, kind of like,
yeah, like he spit in the dirt a while
put
ago.
Some, right, you know, kind of put some spit on his finger and then touched it to the guy's tongue.
A little pine tar on there,
you know, and so like literally putting him some of himself into this guy in the place where he needed it, which is really great. And then that word "ephatha," actually it's part of our baptism rite. It's optional, but you know, I typically do it. Mm-hmm. So we say, you know, "May the Lord Jesus, who made the deaf hear and the mute speak, soon touch your ears that you may receive His word and your tongue to proclaim His faith."
And we're supposed to touch the sign of the cross.
We're supposed to touch the ears and kind of around the mouth area.
Yeah,
it's hard with babies sometimes. Yeah. You know, to all that. You know,
you need to wash your hands. Like we talked about last week.
Yeah, right. Parents are going to be freaked out. So I kind of get somewhat close. It's sort of like, you know, borderline cheek area.
You're
but
fine.
You know, right? It's, gets the point across.
The gesture that counts, right?
Yeah. Right. So it's neat that it even comes into our baptism, right? You know, talked about being, you know, new creations.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, you know, he does want to make us new and open up our ears and our mouth, you know, to hear His word, to proclaim His faith, the faith, you know, and His praises and all that.
Yeah, and you know, the funny part is that anytime I have a sinus infection, I always cry out, "Ephatha,
be opened."
Yeah, I want myself to be opened.
Yeah,
I like look up to the sky and just yell it at the top of my lungs, which is alarming sometimes to people, but. No, it's interesting that he had, you know, that moment with, I mean, clearly he wanted to help him and he obviously did help him. And then the funniest part of all this is that he, you know, of course the crowd is coming in and they're looking and they're seeing what's going on and that he was healed. And he says, "Don't tell anybody."
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, "Well, I'm not going to tell anybody." And then they end up like telling so many people, the crowd, you know, grows larger. And he's like, "Exactly what I told you not to do.
Right.
You're doing.
Right.
And I knew you were going to do it anyways.
Right.
But I have no choice.
Yeah.
Cause you're just, disobeying."
Yeah,
but
right.
I think it's, they were amazed at what had happened, as we see a lot with the miracles and the healings of Jesus, is that people are just astounded and they don't have words for it. And, I guess that's a good thing you know, obviously for him at that time to be known for good, right? And obviously healing people is excellent. And he, you know, he healed that man for a particular reason. There was, again, there's always a purpose with right. Jesus. There's always a, obviously the mission to heal, but there's a bigger, there's a larger purpose on the horizon that he's, you know, he's kind of hinging on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it struck me that, because he didn't want people to always tell about the miracles, like we said, not to be like this big performative, yeah. you know, kind of a spectacle.
He just wanted to heal the guy and move on.
You know, and have people get the wrong impression of what he was, you know, what his mission was or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, but I think it's sort of the, it needs to be the opposite with us, actually. You know, now that Jesus has already ascended to the right hand of the Father, like, he doesn't have to worry about being misunderstood here on earth and all that kind of stuff, you know? But, like, we actually need to go tell what God has done for us. I mean, that's part of the, that's even part of being a disciple, you know, sharing with one another, you know, where God's working in our life. And maybe it is a big moment like this, you know, for us, or maybe it's just, you know, simple ways, you know, that God has touched our life. But I think it's important to share that. That's why we have like a witness speaker at the a night of worship, you know, because it's important for us to hear, you know, how God has reached into someone's life, you know, and touched them where they, you know, in a particular way, and especially where they needed it. And so, yeah, maybe that's a little challenge for the week even, is like, maybe mm-hmm. share with somebody. Maybe it's even someone you live with and you never share this before.
Give us some homework here.
You know what? Maybe a little way of where God sort of touched you in your life. That, yeah, it's kind of what we do, you know, like at the staff meetings and things. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, yes. How's God touched your life recently? And so it's just good to share. It's good to hear. So yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. But and pray that, you know, the Lord, you know, touches us too, where we need it. And sometimes that's the thing about, you know, prayers that we're not always answered in the way or the manner or the time that we would like. But to really believe that Jesus, he is going to touch us where we need to be touched.
Yeah.
And even if it's not sort of what's in our mind right now, that he wants, in his love for us, he wants to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, he's, you know, it's purposeful. He's up to something. You know, and he'll make something happen, you know, for us in our life and what we're dealing with, even if it's, and where we really do need to be, you know, touched and have his grace to bear, even if it's not what we were thinking of.
Yeah. And to flip that on its head too, it's important, like when you ask for, say, a birthday gift, like my birthday was yesterday. So like somebody says, what do you want for your birthday? I go, oh, I don't know, nothing. I'm 28 years old. I don't need anything. Right. But it's like, it's almost like you're too guilty to like ask for anything. Like, hey, I'd really like, you know, a Lego, you know, set. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna ask for that, but you get the point. Like, it's almost like sometimes you
have plenty of Legos already.
I'm not a Lego guy. That's just what struck me. But it's almost like you can't. You don't want to ask for something out of just like, I don't really need anything, mm-hmm. but it's important to always ask God to, you know, continue to supply you yeah. and continue to, even if you're just like, oh, I don't want to ask for that, or mm-hmm. I don't want to pray for that. You know, if it seems a little silly, it's okay, because regardless, like, God will hear you. And, you know, to your point, it might not manifest in the way that you dream it up, but God will hear you and he will answer in his time and in his way.
Yeah, it just struck me. And when they said, you know, they begged him to lay his hand on him, I don't know if they thought just like touch him on the head, touch him on the shoulder.
Right.
But, you know, then he put his finger into his ears and, you know, spit on the guy's tongue. And so in some way, he, even in this passage, you know, that he didn't quite answer the request in the way that they even asked.
Yeah.
You know, but it was what the guy needed.
Yeah.
And it just did it in his own way, you know, which is, again, it's good for us to remember.
Yeah, and he did the opposite of what you do at baptism. I mean, instead of just doing the sign of the cross, he actually was like,
yeah,
and, you know.
Maybe I should try that. Actually, it's not in the rubric, so I wouldn't try that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll make it my own thing.
That'd be wild.
So, yeah.
Well, I remember one time, like, during COVID, I saw this picture of a priest who was baptizing a kid with a squirt gun. Did you see that?
I did see that.
That's wild.
I don't know if that's
Sanctioned.
I don't know if that was a real baptism or if that was just you know, something for the internet.
Oh,
but
that would have been wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. I mean, it was entertaining. I don't know how, you know, obviously it's not the most, but at that time, that was probably about all they could think of doing. But
I'd worry, especially with, you know, babies can't, you know, they always hold their head still, you know, get it in their eyes or, you know, whatever.
Or you get the mom or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We won't be trying that anytime soon. Here.
No. No, don't. If you have a baptism coming up, won't be in squirt guns.
Leave the squirt guns to Bobby and the high schoolers, you know?
I don't even like using that little shell thing. I mean, it's kind of nice in a way, but I think heads bob around too much. Like, I just like to be able
to... Yeah, you don't want to, like, hit them.
Move my hand, or, again, just pour it in their eyes because they've moved, and you know, on you. And so I just like to bring my hand right to their head, you know? I just found that to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
and, it kind of, you know, decreases the, you know, the... getting water where you don't want water.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel it.
So, yeah, I mean, that taught us that seminary. Don't get water in the baby's eyes. So.
Oh, really? They had like a class on that?
Yeah, we had classes on how to do all this stuff.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, yeah, baptism practice. Don't get water in the baby's eyes. That's how we said it, too. That's great. So.
Was that like an old crotchety professor?
No, he was just kind of fun. But Father Godfrey.
Godfrey.
And so, I think of that, like, don't get. Yeah, so.
Every time.
Right. It's a lot of times.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how many baptized you've babiesed?
How many baptisms I've done?
How many babies you've baptized? Holy cow.
I do keep track, actually.
You do?
So I could easily... Yeah, when I was getting ordained, I was living with a priest who was celebrating his 25th, and he goes, hey, what you should do is write down all your baptisms, weddings, and funerals, you know, so that when you have your 25th, you can kind of say, oh, here's how many I've done. So I do write all... I have written all those down in this little journal book.
Awesome.
For these years. So
like last week we talked about stats. You can give us your stats when you have
It's funny. Once in a while I'll show that book to people, like people who I have baptized as babies, and I run into them later and they're like 10 years old or 15 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And I can be like, look, here's your name in my book.
Right.
So
you're 0042. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It's kind of fun.
Interesting. Well, that's great, Father. That's awesome. I didn't know you did that. That's our fun Catholic
fun
fact
little tidbit.
The day. Our fun father fact, FFF,
There you go.
Not family faith formation, but fun father fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, Father, would you like to pray on that?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'm Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you are willing to enter into where we need you in our hurts, our brokenness, and whatever it might be. Of course, we know that at Mass, you literally put some of yourself and all of yourself into us. Help us to remember next time we're at Mass that your healing presence is indeed coming into us and is at work. Open our ears more to hear you. Open our mouths more to share you with those around us. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. And sustain us this day and each day in that love in the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. Another great discussion today.
Thanks, Parker, and God bless you all. And see you soon.